welcome to A Drummer's Guide to a podcast about all the things it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. My name is Emily Dolan-Davies. I am a drummer by trade, and I'm in a super unique position today that I just thought, right, let me record this episode because it's just happened, and I thought maybe it would be valuable, interesting, I don't know what I'm aiming for here, but to go through this in real time. So, a couple of hours ago, I found out that The Voice Kids is not coming back next year. So for anyone that doesn't know, I am the house drummer for a TV show in the UK called The Voice Kids. It's basically The Voice, but the kids version. I've been doing it for the last sort of 4 years, and every year it comes back around, but as it turns out, it sounds like, because there's been a press release and everything, it is not coming back for 2024. Now, this is, I speak about sort of moving on from gigs and all that sort of stuff, but I just thought, wow, this is actually happening right now. As I say, I found this out a couple of hours ago. So I just thought that I would share kind of my thought processes, how I'm feeling about it, I guess, and just hopefully it will help someone out there who is, you know, also going through a transitional period when it comes to work or a band or gigs or whatever. So I will start out by saying that I have this weird coping mechanism that I have employed for, I feel like, the whole of my life, which is terrible, and I really, really, really would not recommend it. And that is, no matter what's going on, I always try to imagine the worst case scenario, so that at least if that happens, I'm not blindsided. And in all honesty, I have this at the end of every single season of The Voice Kids, well, every gig that I've been on, but I just think, right, there's a chance that this isn't coming back. So I assume that it's not coming back, as in my whole thing is, like, nothing in life is guaranteed. I had it when I very first started working with The Voice, because it was kind of split up into two segments of work initially. So it was the back end of 2019, I think it must have been. In fact, it was, because it was just before COVID. The back end of 2019, I was booked, but I wasn't booked for the second block of work in 2020. And I figured, you know, they just want to check that I can do the job, you know, want to check that I fit in, that it all is swimmingly, whatever. And I never took it for granted that I was going to do that second block of work, which was hilarious, because at some point I did have a conversation with the MD, and he was like, I can't even remember how it came about, but he was like, oh yeah, I've told you about the dates for the beginning of next year, right? And I was like, no. He's like, oh really? Oh God, I'm so sorry. Like, let me email them over to you. And it turns out it was just an oversight. But in my head, I was going, oh, maybe they don't want me and that's okay. And, you know, I always sort of keep all gigs at arm's length, which honestly, I wouldn't recommend, because it does sort of, like, that feeling of having one foot out the door in anything in life, I don't think is good. It is my coping mechanism. It's how I protect myself from getting hurt, which is, it's not good. I would recommend being all in, and I'm trying to get better at that. Ironically, the last season that I did, so we filmed it at the beginning of this year, actually, 2023, and I finally felt like I had both feet in the door. I finally felt like I was a little more relaxed. I was able to be myself. I was comfortable in the fact that, you know, when I was having a vulnerable moment, I felt safe. I felt safe with these group of people in the environment that it was. And that's a big step for me, to have that trust in an environment. Massive. Only took 4 years. So anyway, I finally felt like I'd broken the back of it. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the last season. It was just brilliant. There were still hard moments, and it was very challenging at times, but within all of that kind of stuff, there was this safety sort of feeling around all of it, because I didn't feel like I was the new kid. I didn't feel like I was kind of trying to prove myself, which I'm pretty sure that nobody in that room ever felt that I needed to, but I did all the time. So yeah, I finally felt like I was in a good place with it. And of course, lo and behold, I get this news this morning and I'm just like, of course, of course. But again, it's a really bad way of thinking that I'm going, of course that happened because you finally got comfortable. Of course that happened. And it's that negative side of me that does come out sometimes. And as I say, it's not great. It does protect me a little bit, but at the same time, it kind of, I don't like that voice being proven right. It's not nice. Although we know that everything will come to an end at some point. It's just, it's such a shame that it's happened after the fact. So I'm kind of looking back at my experience and going, oh wow, that was the last time. I just didn't know it. I sort of try to live my life that I do, you know, appreciate every moment, thinking this may be the last time that I play this song, this may be the last time I play with these people. But when it actually happens, different story altogether. So anyway, I just wanted to share like how I'm thinking, how I'm gonna deal with this, because you know, there's the obvious thing of like, for the last 4 years I've blocked out the beginning of my year. So we always film between, apart from the first season where we did some filming sort of, I think it was October till December, and then a second block, which was January to March, which has been the same every year since. It's just January to March or April. That is my voice kids time. And I kind of block it off and I go, right, I know personally for me, I need to concentrate fully on this one job, so I don't take on any other work. I might take on a couple of sessions, but even then, I try not to, because I know how much energy I put into the voice. I know how much effort, concentration, just, I put everything in. I'm like that with everything that I do. I put everything into it. I can't help it. I'm someone that likes to hyper focus, and therefore switching focus just exhausts me basically. So I try to really just go, right, this is my time with the voice kids boys, and that's that. And I because I want to do the very best job that I can basically. What comes with that also is that, you know, practically I know that I have a particular amount of income over those 3-4 months, which is very useful to plan out my year. So anyway, that's gone away, so that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. That's the reality of it. You know, I that's a big chunk of my income that's disappeared literally overnight. So that's fun. So yeah, I suppose at the moment I'm just trying to acknowledge all of the like losses and acknowledge that I am sad about some of the losses, most of them, the majority to be fair. I mean, the number one thing that comes up for me in terms of this gig ending are the people. I mean, if you followed me for any amount of time, you know that I just love people. I love their stories. I love connecting with people. This situation is so unique. I mean, every situation is unique, but that within the band even. So there's one dude, Ben Epstein, shout out to Ben Epstein, who I've known since I was 15 years old. We randomly met when I was playing a heavy metal gig at a place called Catch 22 in East London. I'm not even convinced that it still exists, or if it does, it isn't called Catch 22, I doubt. And I remember my mum dropping me off with my drums and me like carting all my drums up this spiral staircase into the venue. And then one of the bar staff was, I think he was the only one there, he was like, oh, do you want a hand? And usually I'm like, no, I'm fine, but he helped me, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, usually when I'd go into a venue, nobody would even ask. So anyway, I just remember just being like, oh, that's really cool. Anyway, didn't think anything of it. I didn't even think about it really, but weirdly, it's weird that I remember it. And then 3 years later, I went to do a recording session with a guitarist that I was working with. And there were other weird connections, but this dude turns up, bass player, and he's like, I feel like we've met before. Anyway, turns out this dude was the dude that helped me on that gig when I was 15. And I was like, this is mental. Anyway, it turns out we had mutual friends. We'd grown up in similar areas. And we sort of kept in touch from then. Phenomenal bass player, side note, phenomenal. And then obviously we kept in touch. We did gigs together. We did tons together. And anyway, he was the bass player on The Voice Kids, and to get to play with him is just wonderful. He really is truly like family to me. I've known him for so long, and because he's from North London as well, like there's a real, there's so many points of reference that we have. And when I talk to him, I'm like, I feel like I'm home. You know what I mean? He's one of those people, which is awesome. And then other musicians on that gig who are just absolutely phenomenal, who I'd wanted to play with for years and years and years. People like Dave Tench, MD, phenomenal human, unbelievable musician. People like Ben Jones, guitarist. Oh my God. I remember seeing Ben Jones down, I think it was at Ronnie's, and I was just like, this dude is unreal. And then he got on the drums and I was like, this dude is unreal. Like, he was the most intimidating person ever in the world for me. And he's also the sweetest dude in the world. And also we both have a few kind of, he would occasionally play really heavy, like metal riffs almost. And I'm like, oh my God, like I know this. I haven't even thought about this song for like 15 years. And you know, there were just these sort of funny little moments of connection. And then Jake Edwards Wood, absolute amazing human, who I first played with him when he was 18, and he was unbelievable then, he's unbelievable now. Mats, who is the guy that does all the programming, he's amazing as well. Anyway, I'm sort of just listing people now, but the point is that they are the people that I'm gonna miss. Also the production people, Joe Hudd especially, massive one. Yeah, that is sad to me, and I'll tell you why as well that's sad to me. I know myself, and I know that I am very, very, very not good at reaching out to people just because. I always need a reason. It's one of these things. I don't know how to just reach out and go, hey, how you doing? Do you fancy meeting up for a drink? Or do you fancy, like, I can't even finish that sentence because I don't know how to do it. It's ridiculous. I know how to work with people. I have this thing about birthdays. I try to remember as many people's birthdays as I can. There's certain birthdays that are impossible for me to remember. Anyone that's got a birthday in October, most people that have a birthday in September, forget about it. I don't know what it is about those months. I can't remember birthdays in those months. But it's a good reason for me to reach out to people just to touch base. Because otherwise I'm useless. I'm just useless. I don't know how, this is gonna sound so lame, I don't know how to be a friend. I know how to be a work colleague, I definitely do. And don't get me wrong, I do have friends, but they're a very, very small, tight-knit group. And often our friendships are based around, do you wanna go and get something to eat? Which is nothing wrong with that. So anyway, I know for a fact, unless I have a massive personality change, which I'm not planning on, there's a chance that I may never see some of those people again. And that is sad to me. And that is one of my life's, themes, I suppose. There's people that I've been on tour with, worked with, where we've been through like a lot, tumultuous situations, you know, with a lot of like emotion, where we've had to band together, where it's felt very like survival kind of situations. You know, we've literally just had each other's backs because there's no other choice, and we just need to like power on through, and we're a team, and you know, we're inseparable, and you know, we are truly a family. And in that moment, that, you know, you're in a tour bubble, and those people are your everything, like they are your world. And it's so intense, and you feel it so deeply, at least I do. And then you disband, and you know, there's people that I have literally, there's a few people I'm thinking of, who I still consider close family. I haven't spoken to them in over 10 years. but I still feel that way. And it's quite possible that that may be the case with some of these guys. And that's that is sad to me. However, however, I must always see the bright side, of course. I'm so grateful for what it was. I, you know, it's not lost on me how grateful I am that it, honestly, it's, I've had some pretty surreal experiences in my life, but I'm pretty sure this one has been consistently the most surreal. Every day you just never knew what was going to happen. The baseline of the gig, as I have kind of talked about on other episodes, but the baseline of how the gig is run is perfect for me. It's perfect for my personality. It's all very quick. It's all very, like, there's no filler in the way that the gig is run. It, you know, it's just run at such a pace. It's excellent. It's so good. There's no filler time. Everyone knows what they're doing. And we're like a well-oiled machine. And that is my favourite way to work. I like to, in case you hadn't noticed, I like to be productive. I was telling someone the other day, I'm essentially a productivity whore. It's really bad. I need to actually stop because I think I'm going a bit too far with it. But the point is that gig was filled with people who had a similar approach to working, to getting the job done, which meant that when all the crazy stuff happened, it was fine because the base, the foundation was so solid. We didn't even need to worry about it. Speaking of which, Steve Parry, massive shout out to you. He's the guy who writes all the charts for The Voice Kids and The Voice. Phenomenal human, literally the reason that we're able to work the way that we are. He is a legend, an absolute legend, not just as someone who writes charts, obviously, just as a human, wonderful human, one of my favourite that I've met in the last 4 years, for sure. But what was I saying? Yeah, I'm so grateful for that, basically. Now, what I will say as well is that although I'm sort of saying all these things I'm going to lose, the positive things I'm going to lose, and reminiscing about the craziness and the strange stories and a lot of stuff I can't remember, which is sad because my memory is terrible. But yeah, I'm sure I'll remember stuff and I'll probably reminisce again on other episodes. In this moment, I don't remember much about the actual filming. It's the feeling of the people that I remember the most, that I am going to miss the most. And the playing and the connection with people, that's always a wonderful thing. And the variety of the music was such a challenge and it was so scary. And that brings me on to my next point, is that actually it was an amazing gig, like, but there wasn't no negative side to it. So I haven't spoken about this at all, but I will admit, is that the right word? I don't know, I guess it is, that it was incredibly stressful. Not once I was in the gig, but the lead up. So the lead up to the first year was overwhelming. I've spoken about it before. The gig, as I've mentioned, is a lot of reading, and I knew how to read a little bit, but not nowhere near enough. Like, I knew that wasn't a surprise to me, but I kind of boot camped myself into learning how to read, which worked great. And I've spoken about that before, but what I haven't spoken about is all the stress surrounding that, and there was a lot. Like, the lead up to that first year, it was essentially 3 or 4 months of a constant state of anxiety and stress and negative self-talk and just, can I do this? I'm not sure I can do this. Maybe they've made a mistake. You know, they've never even, you know, I haven't even done an audition. They've just said yes. And like, what if I get in the room and I can't do the job? And then they're going to have to ask me to leave. And then that's just like the most horrendous thing ever. Now, I use these things obviously to my advantage in that it was motivating me to keep working harder and all of that sort of stuff. But let me tell you, it was exhausting. It was exhausting. I was not in a good way mentally at all. I was lucky in that I was listening to an audiobook at the time, which I've spoken about before. called The Chimp Paradox. That really helped me. I happened to be listening to it at the right time, and it gave me a lot of tools to kind of just talk myself down and all that sort of stuff. And by the time I got into the gig, it was fine. And that I remember the first song I played with them, which was Come Together by the Beatles. And as soon as, once I'd done that, I was like, I think this is going to be okay. And I guess it was. 4 years later, I was still there. But what I will also say is that just because I got through that first year, let me tell you, that didn't stop the lead up, the stress of the lead up. I couldn't enjoy life for 3 months prior to every sort of block of the Voice Kids. It was all of my biggest insecurities would be coming to the forefront. I would just be battling with myself. Also, because for the second and third year that I did it, COVID was still kicking about, or COVID was kicking about and still kicking about. In fact, it was so the second half of the first season that I did, and then second and third, which meant that obviously I couldn't have any sort of physical contact with anyone. Turns out, hugging people, big part of my personality, big part of how I connect with people, and being able to talk and being in close vicinity and all of that sort of stuff, massive part of how I connect with people. And I couldn't do that, which meant that I didn't feel like I could be myself, which meant that I was feeling just incredibly insecure. I couldn't rectify anything within myself because it was so unusual. Obviously, we were all going through this. It was so unusual, and it was just really hard to navigate, generally speaking. So anyway, but yeah, these lead ups to each block of work was pretty bad. It would start out low level stress, and every year, bar this last season, I would have one evening where I would have essentially a panic attack, and it wasn't necessarily obviously about that. It was just interesting that it always happened in the lead up, and it just where everything felt so much, you know, and I wanted to run away, and you know, I couldn't breathe, and I was just like it's all too much. This would happen yearly. To the point that I was like, maybe this isn't good for me. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this gig. It's giving me so much stress. But then inevitably I'd go do the gig that year, and all those challenges that I was being faced with, I would overcome. And anyone that knows me and has followed me for any amount of time knows how much I actually love overcoming a challenge. And the feeling at the end of a season or the end of a filming session where it's gone well and it's happened and I did it, that there's so many moments of exhale, or I call exhale, that would happen, and it was just like, oh, life is amazing. Life is so amazing. And I'd forget all of the stress, because my memory is terrible, that had come before it. But I'd definitely come out the other side stronger, with more skills, with more understanding, with deeper friendships with the people that I was with, because often I would have to show my vulnerability in front of people that, you know, I only saw a couple of months of the year, and otherwise didn't really see. And you know, these guys to me are world class. Like, world-class musicians, world-class humans. I always felt like the weak link, the imposter, and to show a weakness in myself in front of them, let me tell you, worst thing ever. The last thing that I wanted. However, once I got into, I think it was the third year with them, I realised that we all had weaknesses, we all had vulnerabilities, and it was okay to show it. And that third year was definitely a bit of a turning point where I was like, oh, okay, this is okay. I'm allowed to not be perfect here. Difficult thing to realize, difficult thing. The fourth year, I leaned into it. I was like, well, I'm freaked out about this song. Well, okay, let's, you know, and I was just very upfront about stuff, which freed me so much. So that in itself was a really good learning experience. Also, side note, did not have a panic attack coming up to the fourth series, so that was interesting. That was very interesting. Sorry, the fourth year for me, it was actually season 7. I came in at season 4, and we've just finished season 7. So anyway, there you go, there's a positive from not doing the gig. Let me tell you that the positives outweigh that, and if it could carry on, I'd love for it to. I really felt like I'd gotten to a place where I was semi-comfortable with the situation. But maybe that's good that it doesn't carry on, because for me, I like to be challenged. And as much as I hate to admit it, if I get comfortable, it's not I get bored, but I like challenge. I like growing. But this is what I mean. In The Voice Kids, you're always growing because it's always new songs. There's always something that you can't do very well or that you can grow from or whatever. And that was the brilliance of it, because it had become growth within an enjoyable group of people and a safe space. And that sucks. This sucks. This sucks. This really, really sucks. I'm going to miss it. A lot. Yeah. Okay, so I think it's good to acknowledge the things that you're going to miss. And obviously, after I record this, I'll be taking time to really feel these feelings even more. That's something else I've learned recently. It's okay. It's okay to feel the negative. You don't have to only find the positive. It's okay to be sad. This sucks. This sucks. So anyway, what I also have been thinking about is that, although, let's talk about a loss, right, loss of income, that sucks. To know that I had a sort of chunk of income at the beginning of every year has been quite settling, and it's very unusual, well, in my experience, it's very unusual to sort of know, right, at this period of time, I will have roughly this income, which is great, and I can sort of plan ahead from that. That's been a nice thing. It's been unusual, so I'm gonna have to get back used to having the uncertainty of that. But that's okay. I've had years of that, so it's not a massive adjustment. However, let's talk about the positives of that. So yeah, there's a loss of income, but there now is a big space of time. I now have 3 months of my year that I didn't have before, which means that I have space for opportunities to come in, and that is really exciting to me. Someone once told me, I think it was back in, I know when it was 2009 maybe, I think I'd just left The Hours, and someone, a drummer, said to me, he said, one thing that you have to just have is a blind faith that things will come in and it'll all be okay. And I've never forgotten that. And I've always had that since then. I hadn't before that. I sort of was like panic all the time. Stress all the time. But I started kind of just, I suppose, giving into this thing of like, I have to just trust that things will come in. And I wasn't able to do it all the time. I still panicked, and still do to some degree. But the older I've gotten, the more that I've done this, I do recognize when I'm looking back at stuff that once space has been created, new and interesting opportunities that wouldn't have worked had I have been still doing what I'm doing, they sort of open up, and because that space is there, I'm also open to like new things. So I don't know what this, now that I have this new space of time every year, and I'm not talking just obviously time, headspace, energy, emotion, all that sort of stuff, that's exciting to me. Like, that's truly exciting to me, because I know how crazy life can be and how the strangest things happen when you leave space. Like I say, it's terrifying. And it may be that I fill the space personally. I might decide to do something new, create something new. I, of course, have a few ideas in my head because I can't help it. It's how I roll. There's one in particular I think I really want to do. But I don't know yet. Or it can be putting more time into the studio and recording for other people, or it can be putting more time into doing one-on-one coaching, which is one of my great loves. And then, or it could be like doing more masterclasses or clinics. I'm doing the Drummer Odyssey camp later on this year in Bristol. So that's kind of like, oh, well, maybe I could do more of that. That could be interesting. Or just leave it and let things come, which is difficult for me. It is hard for me to just leave space. What I will also say is something that when these kind of moments happen, the common factor of how I deal with it and the common factor of when I make my best decisions is giving myself time and space and silence just to think, just to notice, just to have many conversations with myself about what do I actually want to be doing? Where do I actually want to be? What steps do I need to take? In fact, it's not even what steps do I need to take, because that kind of comes later, but just what do I want my life to look like? Like, step back, big picture, what do I actually want? I'm lucky in that, where are we now? In just over a week and a half, I'm heading to Canada. I'm going to my cousin's wedding. It's in rural Canada, I'd say, which is great. I love being in nature, especially for things like this. So during that time, aside from the festivities, which are going to be awesome, and seeing all my family and chatting and hanging out, I'm going to make sure that I take time to just sit. We're going to be by a lake. I love water. So I'm going to just take time. I'm going to, you know, maybe take a few mornings where I get up really early. Maybe watch the sunrise. Maybe just sit and look at the water and just think. Make sure that I do that and let the emotions come up, let the thoughts come up, explore, get interested in where my brain is going, and listen to the little voice that I have inside of me that so often has guided me before, so often has tried to guide me, and I have not listened. And inevitably, that voice has ended up being right, which I'm annoyed at myself about. I'm not, because good things came from that, but there's one particular thing which I don't think I can share right now, but there is one particular thing that the voice in me was going, don't do it, and I did it. And it wasn't a mistake, but part of me wishes that I'd listened to that voice. Anyway, I digress. So that's kind of how I'm going to deal with it. It's going to be a process. I'm sure it's going to be up and down in terms of like how I'm feeling about it. And I'm sure I'm going to feel scared and happy and hopeful. Do you know what? I think hopeful is one of the most important emotions for me to feel. I often feel hopeful, and that's always been the hardest thing when I've suffered with depression, because you feel hopeless and it's just, there's nothing, it's numb. But in this moment I feel hopeful. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm lucky in that I don't hang my whole identity on the people that I play with. I do hang a lot of my identity on being a drummer, which I worry about, because if I am not able to be a drummer one day, you need to keep checking in on me, because that is going to not be fun. Speaking of which, I am going to be doing an episode with my sister, Hannah Dolan Davis, on coming off the road and identity and how that sort of links in together. I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion. Anyway, we're going to do that at some point. Maybe we should do that in Canada. Maybe we should film it then. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm kind of thinking out loud. So anyway, as I say, this kind of is just a stream of consciousness. This is where my brain's at. This is how I'm dealing with this news today. As I say, it literally happened a couple of hours ago that I found out. My main feelings are just hopeful for the future, just enjoying reminiscing about how great it's been, how much I loved that gig, I love those people, And I'm not just talking about the band, I'm talking about all of the people involved. So all the production, film crew, you know, everything. The techs as well. Sorry, I didn't even mention all the techs and all the sound guys. They are phenomenal humans too. I feel like I should do literally a name check, but you're not here for a name check. I already did enough of that earlier. Yeah, and recognizing the things that I'm going to gain by not doing it, if that makes sense. So gaining time, losing that kind of panic attack stress. I'm sad I'm not going to be challenged in the same way, in such a condensed way, because that was my favourite thing about the gig. Definitely, 100%. The amount of challenge within a very short period of time, you know, 60 minutes worth of music would be, how many songs would that have been? Like 40 songs. And let's say a quarter of those are things that I wouldn't usually play. That's a pretty high turnaround of challenge. And when you get it as well, and when it works, and when it sounds legit, and you're like, oh my god, yes, this is awesome, like, I'm gonna miss that. But there'll be other challenges that I can do, and do you know what, it's been a great lesson in understanding what is possible for me, also challenging all the things that I'm most vulnerable about. I've learned so much, I've found out so much about myself through doing that gig, and that's not just playing wise, that's personally. I've made some great friendships, and yeah, I'm really gonna miss it. But hey ho, onwards and upwards. Something else will come along, or something else will happen, or I will choose to do something, and I'm sure that will bring with it all new manner of challenges and fun stuff and hardships and all the stuff, all the things. But yeah, if you're also going through a transitional period, may not even be to do with work. I just want you to know that I'm here. It's happening to me too. And I hope my sort of inane rambling, my walking through how I'm feeling about it all has kind of helped you in some way. If only just to not feel like you're the only one. And you may not be going through this now, you may have been through it in another scenario, and I think I did an episode recently where I sort of said, look, we all go through this. It's happening right now in real time, and I couldn't pass up this opportunity to just share with you exactly what's going on in my brain. Side note, I'm pretty certain that doing this episode is a slight coping mechanism for me right now. So that's something. I don't know if that's good, I don't know if that's bad, but we'll see later when I'm like in tears. No, I don't think I'm going to be in tears, but I think I will shed a couple of tears. I think out of gratitude that it happened more than anything. I don't think it's sadness of loss. No, there will be sadness and loss. But anyway, right. If you've enjoyed this episode, if this has helped you in any way, then please feel free to like, share, subscribe. If you'd like to go the extra mile, you now can by joining my Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, you can get early access to new episodes. I do Zoom hangs, and you can also request subjects that you'd like me to cover to help you on your journey, basically. And you can, as you are, since you're a part of mine, it's only fair that you can like actually say, could you speak about this? So yeah, well, yeah, I hope you're having a nice day. I'm having a day. I'm sure it's going to be up and down, but I weirdly feel really happy that I was able to share this with you so that you can truly understand how I get through these things, how I tackle them, not get through them. I don't think, because I'm not getting through it just yet, but I'm tackling it. I think it's going to be a few weeks before I can kind of glean some sort of resolution or idea, or I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to not put a label on it. I just know that I need to give myself space and silence and just keep on keeping on with all the other stuff that I'm doing, like this. So anyway, I hope you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and yeah, join me next time for another episode, and we'll see where we're at then. All right, lots of love to you. I'll see you later. Bye bye.
Jenny's got tea.